How many of you felt like sometimes that song spoke your heart? Take this job and shove it. That's what it was. The band wanted to play that song for the offertory, but we just thought it might not be appropriate. But we're going to talk this morning about work. We're going to talk about being an employee, and we're going to talk about being an employer. And we're going to look at what the Scripture says from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And so I'm going to read it, and then we're going to... This is a very practical sermon, and it's really a sermon that we not only need to hear, but we need to practice it. Because I'm convinced that people will get their impression about the church from how you act, not in the church, but on the job and in your home. And this passage is so powerful when you break it down. All right, look at verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both had the same master, and he has no favorites. Now, first of all, I want you to understand, Paul is not endorsing slavery. And what he is simply addressing is the fact that Christianity was born into a time and a culture that slavery was part of it. And evidently, in the early church, there was a considerable number of slaves, but there were a few slave masters. But the majority of them were not masters, they were slaves. And Paul is addressing the situation. As a matter of fact, he's addressing in Ephesians all relationships. We've already seen in the past where he talked about husbands and wives. Last week we talked about parenting and how a child should respond and then how parents should be. And this morning he's talking about another component of the home, which would be the slave or the servant. Now, in that day, servanthood was not based upon the color of your skin like it was in the 19th century. You know how you got to be a slave? You got whipped in war. And it wasn't about the color of your skin. It was about whether you won or lost. And they would take these people back and they would put them into slavery. And so it's not the same as what we saw in the 19th century in our country. Paul is not supporting it. He is simply telling us how to exist in that kind of a situation. Now, most biblical scholars say that this is the best way to describe a work relationship. In that day, the number one place you worked was in the home. You had government officials, but most homes had a father who was the head of the house, and he had slaves. And they would have all kinds of businesses that would serve the community they were in. And so Paul is addressing these situations, how to be underneath someone who is over you. As a matter of fact, many of the slaves in that day, some were doctors, some were accountants, some just helped out around the house. Many of these slaves in that day were given their freedom and often adopted their master's name. But still understand, it still was slavery. And in Roman times, the Roman master had the power of life and death over his household. And so Paul is addressing that. As a matter of fact, it is from the church, it's from the early church and Christians that slavery eventually was defeated. And we need to understand that he is not addressing. As a matter of fact, in that time, Roman times, that this letter was written, they estimate that 25 to 40% of the population was enslaved in some sort of fashion. And so you may be thinking, well, my job, I feel like a slave. I don't like it. My boss doesn't like me. Listen, I want you to understand that the Scripture gives all of us who work for somebody the highest standards. Listen, I grew up in a home with a very high work ethic. My kids were raised in a home where you were expected not to just go to work, but you were to be the best at work. And we need to understand that as Christians, that we influence people for good or bad based on what they see, and especially what they see at work. And so let's look at how you should be if you're an employee first, if you work for someone. All right, here's the first thing. This really comes from not just this passage, but Scripture in general. And it's this. Your job is your mission field. Wherever you work is your mission field. And you need to understand that people are watching you at work, regardless of what kind of work you do. As a matter of fact, one guy says, the world doesn't watch our behavior at church on Sundays or in Bible studies on weeknights. They watch us at home, they see us at work, and then, he said, that should humble us. You know, the people in this community are going to make their opinion about this church, not on the building, but how we portray Christ wherever we go and work. Or how we live our families. And so this is incredibly important. Your job is your mission field. Matter of fact, one church we went to, they had a sign that as you left the parking lot of your church, it said, entering the mission field. That is so true. When you leave this place today, you're entering into the mission field. In Acts 1:8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You, when you leave this place with your family, on the job, you give people a picture of what Christ is like and what his church is like. You know, I would suggest that you do this. I did this. I was a college student at getting ready to go to Baylor University, and I worked in a company called Johns Manville, and it made asbestos pipes. And so if I have asbestosis someday, that's where I got it. But I only worked there one summer. And the reason I worked there, it was the best job for the money for a kid going to college. And I can remember, I had a goal. I made a goal. My goal at the beginning of that summer was to share my faith with every single employee that I worked with on my shift. And so I asked God at the beginning of the summer to do that. And then I continued the whole entire summer to look for opportunities to share my faith. Now, not in a in-your-face kind of way. As a matter of fact, almost without exception, I never brought it up first. They did. Now, let me tell you why. Because this place where I worked, woo, you talk about potty mouth. You talk about talking about things you shouldn't talk about. I was sheltered. I went into the world and I thought, oh my goodness, this is what adults talk about? And I just was not like everybody else. I worked hard. I didn't go take smoke breaks. I didn't hide and take little breaks on the job. I tried to do my very best. I tried to live a Christ-like life. And the amazing thing is, by the last night, on the very last night, I was able to share my faith with the worst guy that I had to work with. And I didn't approach him. He approached me. He said, can we go for a ride? And I said, sure. And I mean, we're talking dirty. He was the one you ought to not hang around with. And he told me his story about how he used to go to church and why did I not do. And we had a great talk. Now, I have no clue what happened after I left. I just know this. When you see your workplace, and even if you volunteer, that's your workplace, as an opportunity to share your faith, God will give you opportunities if you ask, if you look, and then when you get the opportunity, if you share. So your job is your mission field. Then here's the second thing. Do your job. It's amazing how many employees try to recreate their job description. And until you get to be a little higher up and be an employer, you don't get to do that. But I've been amazed through the years how many people want to reinvent the wheel and tell me how they want to do their job. Well, the scripture says this, slaves, obey your earthly masters. It's in the present tense. It means you and I are to continually obey those who are in authority over us. And if you have a job and you have a boss, guess what? They're your authority. And he simply said, you need to obey your authority on the job. Not reinvent it, not always. Now, I'm not talking about giving helpful hints, but man, I've been there. I've been in the secular world, I've been in the church world, and I just sometimes want to say to guys, just be quiet. Just do your job. Just do what you were hired to do. Obey your master. And that sounds so crazy, but it's obedience. And people notice those people who are good workers, don't they? They're not always hiding. They're not cheating their boss. They're just simply doing the job they were called to do. And that seems like such a silly thing to say, but I'm going to say it again. If you're an employee, just do your job. Do it the best of your ability for the boss that you work for. And if you don't like that boss, well, then I say, when you get another job, change. But just do your job. So that's the second thing. You see the workplace as your mission field. You do your job. And then the third thing, have the right attitude. I mean, if you have to have a job, which most of us do, just have a good attitude. And one of the best things you can give your boss, trust me on this, is a good attitude. Notice how he described it there. He says that you are to obey him with deep respect and fear. And in the Greek, the idea here is not that of cowering fright, but respect, which is honor. It is respect, and the person actually wants to please their superior. I mean, how much better would it be on the workplace if your boss, I tell you what, you come into the boss and they know that you want to please them, your day probably will be better. But it's attitude. You got to have a job, right? Why not choose the right kind of attitude? And any job you have, whoever your boss is your authority. Have the right attitude. Do your job. See your job as a mission field. It's also very, very important. You know what my dad used to tell me? He had ice cream stores, and he would hire these teenage kids to work for him, dipping ice cream. And he used to tell me, and my dad was a Christian, but he used to tell me, he said, Bill, you know who the worst people to hire are to work at 16-year-old is? The church kids. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, they're always wanting to not work. They're either wanting to go to this or that. And he said, they're just the most irresponsible. And he said, it just kills me. And then I spent a summer managing the ice cream stores. And guess what I discovered? Absolutely right. You know, kids would just not show up because Jesus told them to. Now, your boss is not going to love Jesus near as much as he should if your excuse for not coming to work and he gets to fill in is because Jesus told you not to. My kids knew you didn't call in sick unless you were sick. Yeah, isn't that a thought? Why? Because you got to have the right attitude. And a lot of times, people look at the church and go, they're the worst. They're the worst. Don't be that way. Have the right attitude when you go to work. Fourth thing, be real. He says, serve them sincerely. That word sincerely means without hypocrisy. Don't be superficial. Be the real deal. Serve them as you would serve Christ. Isn't that a great idea? When you go to work, don't be a fake. Listen, if you can't stand your boss, let me just help you out with this. If you can't stand your boss and you're always acting like you love them, more than likely they know you don't like them. I've been there, done that. They're kissing up. You know that. I would rather a guy come in and go, I didn't really want to do that because you're the boss, I did it. And either I saw the value of it or I didn't see the value. I respect that better than going, well, it's, you know, as a preacher, listen, I just don't listen. That's the best sermon I've ever heard. Oh, bull, you know. Depends on the individual, but I've heard that's the best sermon I've ever heard, and I knew in my heart they hated every moment of it. Be sincere. Be real. Don't be a hypocrite. People see that, and they say that about the church all the time, just a bunch of hypocrites. So be real. The fifth thing, be excellent. Try to please them all the time. When you're at work, your goal ought to be to do the best you can do the time that you're there. All the time. Not just when they are watching. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. A couple things. Don't just do it when they're looking at you. My dad had a store in Sherman, Texas. And one of the things they had a storefront. And then there was a mirror. And I always noticed that this mirror was not very clear. Well, because my dad owned the store, I could walk around back in his office. And guess what? One day I looked at the mirror from the other side and you could see through. And of course, I was threatened with my life not to tell anybody that that was a two-way mirror. So here's the picture. These young guys are working on the front. And they're dancing and they're cutting up and my old dad's just sitting there watching them, you know? And here's the picture. The picture is when you go to be on the job, understand that your boss may not see you, but your heavenly boss does. I try to explain to people, you don't work for your employer, you work for God. That's the only way you can endure some bosses is you see them as a way to earn a paycheck. And we need to understand that we need to do the best. We need to strive for excellence. You know, my first church was in Horatio, Arkansas. How many of you know where Horatio is? Well, if you drive through Horatio to this day, right off the main street and that goes through the downtown, there's a little washateria. And because we were starving and had three kids, the people that owned the bank and another guy that owned the grocery store owned this washateria, and they hired me to make a little $50 extra a week. Now, I'm going to be honest. I was a little bit embarrassed. I mean, I have a master's degree, and my job is to clean the laundromat, and I would get up early in the morning and have to go open it up, sweep it. Let me tell you something about laundromats. It's amazing how nasty they are at the end of the day. You wouldn't believe what people put in a washing machine. And yet I would go over there, and here's what I did. I tried to remember as I was sweeping and mopping and emptying the trash and the lint filters and doing my very best, I tried to remember that I was working for Jesus. That's the way I attacked my job. When they needed somebody to work there the first time around, nobody wanted the job. I mean, who wants to clean the washateria? But after I worked there, there was a bunch of people who wanted to work there because the Baptist preacher cleaned the washateria, and I wasn't embarrassed by it. Well, I was at first. Later on, I wasn't. Why? Because it was an opportunity to provide for my family. But here's the deal. I tried to do my best cleaning that place. And Scripture says that. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything you do is to glorify Him. That's how you survive in the world. You see it as an opportunity. And then the next thing in verse 7, God is your employer. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Work with enthusiasm? Are you kidding me? It's a job. Scripture teaches it's a job, but your job is the way to do God's will. You need to understand, you don't work for your boss. You don't work for your company. You actually technically work for God Himself. And it's the way that you provide for your family. Colossians 3:23 says, "Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people." Now you say, "Bill, this stuff just makes no sense." It doesn't to a lost person. But the Scripture teaches that you are supposed to do your very best on a job. Not just if it's church related, but you are to glorify God in all you do, because people look at you and they either see Jesus or they see something else. God is your employer. When you do that, you can go to any job and work hard when you understand who the boss is. And then the last thing for the employee to remember is that God will reward faithful service. He says, "Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slave or free." Now, the problem is we want that reward now, right? It didn't say it's going to be now. But we are promised that God will reward us if we do our best for Him. So that's for the employee. But what about the master? What about the employer? Let me give you some things from verse 9. And there weren't a whole lot in the early days Christian bosses in Rome. Okay? But there were some, evidently, because here's what he says. "Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites." Several things quickly. Number one, if you employ people, treat your employees with honor and respect. You do to them what they do for you. You treat them. You don't use your job as to beat people down. You need to understand that you are to treat them. And here's the way I look at it. You treat people the way you want to be treated, right? And so I always treated the people who worked underneath me the way I wanted to be treated, which was decent. Treat them the way that you would want to be treated. Treat them the way you would treat Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that if your employer sees you doing wrong that he doesn't correct you, because that's his obligation to God as well. It just simply means if you're an employer, you do your best to treat them with respect and honor. Second thing, loosen up. It says, "Don't threaten them." The idea in that phrase is that you loosen up. You're not tightly wound up. You're not abusive. You're not picking on them. You see, you're not supposed to be hated by them. I had a friend who was in the ministry. And one time, he told me I was too nice to my staff. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "They need to fear you. They need to hate you." I said, "Well, I just don't find that in the Bible. They need to respect me. They don't need to fear me." You know, listen, here's what I know about that. If I have to get you to fear me, I have to worry about what you're going to do when I'm not around. But if you respect me, you'll take a sword for me. And that's important, that employers, we need to understand that we can't take advantage and that we need to be. Now, if they do wrong, we deal with it. That's just part of the job. But loosen up. And then the third thing, this one, know that you are accountable. It says, "Remember that you both have the same master in heaven." I might be your master, but guess what? I have to answer to him, just like you have to answer to him. We need to understand that we're all accountable. We need to understand that we both have a Heavenly Father, and that's healthy. Where there is no accountability, there's problems. So understand that you are accountable. And then the last thing, know that you are all equal before God. You know, just because you're a master and they're a slave in that day meant that you're still equal in God's eyes. And you know, the Scripture teaches that there's just believers. There's not believers one, believers two, believers three, non-believers. There's not a hierarchy. You're either a believer or you're not a believer. And guess what? If you're a believer, we're all equal. And Galatians 3, verse 28, it says this: there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. And then he says this: for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing. I might be a little higher up than you. They're higher up than me up that tree. But in the eyes of God, we're on the same playing field. I don't need to wear a collar to signify that I'm higher than you, because I'm not. I'm saved by grace. You're saved by grace. We're all saved by grace. We're all equal because of who? Christ. That's good news. I like that. That we're all equal. And here's the deal. I'm just going to tell you what I think. If Christian employees and Christian employers would follow those things that I talked about, the workplace would be the most evangelistic place in the world. You would never need a revival. I don't believe revivals take place in church. It takes place in people. And you might say, well, I can't, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about Jesus. I remember, I've seen that for years. You know, you if you're a teacher, you can't talk about it. Let me tell you what. This lady over here, I'm partial, but she has had the opportunity to share Christ, and we have baptized people just by being a teacher that cares about her students and their parents. Now, she's not perfect. I'm married to her. But let me tell you, I can show you people who came to church because of that. Now, did she go to school quoting John 3:16? No. But when you are different and love people, people notice it. Every one of you have influence that I don't have. You know, when I worked at John's Mansell, that was fun. Being a pastor, all you guys are supposed to have your act together. I mean, you know, it's kind of like I hang around you guys. You guys are out in the mission field. You have sports teams. You have work that you go to. You have work that you lead. Man, you guys can literally have fun tearing up the world for Jesus. Employees and employers can change the world. So I'm going to close this in a word of prayer before I pass out, because it has to be one of the hottest sermons I've ever had. But I love you, and I'm glad you showed up, and I challenge you to make a difference. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this opportunity. May we go out on our jobs and not be like everybody else. Not to be legalistic, but just to love Jesus and to share Jesus. May we as employers do the same thing. Love people, respect people, and share the gospel. Father, I thank you for everyone that is here on this hot Sunday morning. And may we glorify you next week in the gym. In Jesus' name, amen.